I'm looking at like half faces, and I'm trying to see if I can recognize these half faces. I think I'm doing okay. So praise be to God that we're in the house of the Lord here this beautiful, crisp fall morning to give God glory and praise for who he is and welcome. And I'm looking to see if I see any new faces, like visitors with us, and I don't, but I still love you guys that are here. And welcome to those online. So this week, so the sermon series, now we're taking a shift. And this week, Pastor Frank will begin a sermon series in the book of Hebrews. So week by week, we'll encounter the excellency of Jesus' ministry to us. So it's only appropriate that we start out with a messianic psalm. And it's written ultimately about Jesus. Because we know, like, the whole Bible, who does it lead to? Jesus. So I'm going to read from Psalm 89, verse 1 through 8. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known the faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever. And we're talking about Jesus. And build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. So let's bow our heads as we open up our service in prayer. Wonderful Savior, everlasting Savior, Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, you are a soon coming King, and we just give you glory and praise unto your name. And we're so thankful, Lord God, that you saw fit to bring us into your house of worship this morning. And whether it's physically here or out there in our homes, I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will meet us in the places where we are today. And that everything, every word, every song, the message that's going to be preached today, that your Holy Spirit will be a part of all that we do today. And I pray, dear God, for our children's ministry, that the children, dear God, will just learn more about you today. And I pray, dear God, that hearts will be united in one thing today, and that's to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will just make a move in the hearts of those, dear God, who don't know you yet, or those, dear God, who are vacillating between two opinions. I pray, dear God, that even one soul today will be won for your kingdom through what's going to happen today in this service. And I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus, our soon coming King. And the church, we all say, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Paulette, for that wonderful introduction and prayer. It's so good to be here together to worship today. And I invite you to stand as we sing together and glorify our God. He is the Lion and the Lamb. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God, he is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates. So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb, that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before him. Let's sing, who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Sing again, there's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. that we would become more aware of his presence here with us now. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. It is so precious to just be here with you. And we ask that you would speak to each of us today through the words that we hear, through the songs we continue to sing, and through the fellowship we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Frank Termine. If you don't know me, I'm pastor here at Calvary Church, and I'm so glad to see everybody today. And it brings back memory of when we first got here. Paul writes about himself, but he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Jesus is our prize, and Paul talks as though he's in a race, and if you could picture this, Jesus is at the finish line, and he's got his hand out saying, come on, come on, come on, cheering us on, and Paul is straining, wanting to finish well. And the way he can finish well is by growing closer to Jesus, by also growing more in Jesus. And so that's our call to become more and more Christ-like. So the question I want to ask you today, in your goal of being more Christ-like, what is your next step, the next step that you have to take today? What is your next step? Well, only you know that, but we have some classes coming up that are designed to help you if these are your next step. They're going to be on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and they're going to start October 28th. These are for teens and adults. You can sign up for one of these classes, or you could sign up for all of them if you want, or just more than one. And so the first one is going to be determining your shape to serve others. We are put on this earth to serve others. And God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, puts into us some spiritual gifts. How many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? Many, but not all. Okay, this class is for you then. Because we are called as Christians to determine, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts. To determine, to develop, and to deploy our spiritual gifts. When we are using our gifts, that is where God wants us. And so we have a class that's designed to help you find your spiritual gifts and encourages you to use them. But there's more to it, too. And that's where the HAPE comes in. You have a heart or passions that God has put in you. You have natural abilities that God has put in you. He's given you a personality, and he's also given you experiences. And all those things, God mixes those around and gives you a shape in order to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ and the local community. So this class is designed to help you figure out your shape for ministry. October 28th. November 4th, we have becoming a member of Calvary Church. Now, you might say, well, I've been coming to Calvary Church for a while. Aren't I a member? No, not really. You're an attendee. And there's a difference. As a member, you become part of the decision-making body of this church. Holy Spirit is in you, and you help us decide what we're going to do. It also makes you accountable to the body. It allows you to become a leader in our church. And so you get an hour and a half with me to ask any question you want. I take you behind the screens and I tell you what we do and why we do it. So that's November 4th. And you need this class to become an official member of Calvary Church. Then we have the next three Wednesdays, the 11th to 18th, 25th of November. Sharing the good news about Jesus is one of the most important things we do. It's also one of the most exciting things we do. And a lot of people are uncomfortable doing that. So that's what this class is all about, helping you to become a better witness. In my own life, God using me to help a person get one step closer to Jesus is an exciting time for me. And one of the best times in my life is when I get to pray with a person who decides to make that decision to repent and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I want that for you too. Every one of you to be able to do that and to be able to do that with confidence. So that's what those three classes are for. And the last one is baptism preparation. And if you've repented and believed in Jesus, you're ready for this class. We just want you to make sure you know what you're doing. So December 2nd is that class. So teen and adults, please consider what is your next step. Parents, consider coming with your teens to one or more of these classes. And also in a weekly email, just so you could sign up, the weekly email, you could see the blurb there and respond or just send me an email to whichever one of these classes you're interested in. So please consider that. What is your next step as you strain forward so that Jesus can receive you in his fullness? Praise, prayer, and communion tonight, 8 o'clock on Zoom. Again, go to your weekly email for the link. And today, I'm calling an audible. Instead of talking about the names of God, tonight we're going to talk about the offices of Jesus that we're going to learn about in my sermon. And so we're going to just pray into those tonight. We're going to praise Jesus. Isn't it great to just come together with brothers and sisters and praise Jesus for all he is and all he's done for us? So we're going to do that, and then we're going to have communion. Gordon Baker is going to lead us in communion, and then we're going to just pray for a few minutes about the outreach of the church. I don't know about you, it's different now. Does anybody notice that? It's different. And we need to pray. We as a church need to be different too. We don't have the answers, and we're going to pray into those things tonight, so please join us. So now, if you could open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Kind of exciting. Today is a start of a new sermon series. We're going to read only the first three verses of chapter 1 today. And these verses are what you would say pregnant with Jesus. They're just full of Jesus. They're probably the three most pregnant verses of Jesus in the entire Bible. And they're going to introduce us to what we are going to encounter in the whole rest of the book. But before we stand up and read, let me pray. Will you please bow your heads? Lord, we stand here privileged to hear you speak to us. We will not read the words of man, but we will read words that have poured forth from your very lips. The words you have given us are life. May every one of our senses be used to grasp the full meaning of your words today. We pray this in the name of our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Please stand for the reading of Scripture. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Please be seated. In the original Greek, that's part of one sentence. It actually, the one sentence continues on into verse 4. But we're going to stop here. You know, as Charles Spurgeon said on May 21st, 1882, he said, "I have nothing to do today except preach Jesus Christ." The Word of God tells us the very first Christians, quote, "never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ." Acts 5:42. When Philip went down to Samaria, quote, he proclaimed the Christ there. Acts 8:5. When Paul was converted, quote, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts 9:20. And regarding his preaching, Paul summed it up this way, quote, "for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. So today I stand before you, standing on the shoulders of multitudes of apostles and preachers who for centuries have preached simply Jesus. For as you know Jesus, you will respond. The depth of you knowing Jesus personally will be the depth of your response to him. Do you want to be a better follower of Jesus? Then know Jesus better. It's not by trying harder. It's by knowing Jesus better. So as we begin our study through the book of Hebrews, the main life-giving truth of today's passage happens to be one of the main themes of the entire book. So you ready for this? You ready? Jesus is better. Jesus is better. That's what you came to church here today to find out. Jesus is better. If you came with anybody today or you're sitting at home, tell the people you're with, Jesus is better. I don't hear much. You might ask, well, better than what or better than who? I'm going to get to that. Phil, quiet down. You're wrecking my whole sermon. My map of the sermon is going to be really simple today. I'm going to give you a quick introduction to the entire book of Hebrews, so we start out down the path and you know where we're going. Then I'm going to give you the two overarching truths about Jesus that are contained in today's passage. And then I'm going to conclude with what and who Jesus is better than and how you might respond to that truth. But before I begin, let's pray again. So if you could bow your heads. Lord, give us great understanding about your Son, Jesus. Open up the doors of our minds and hearts to truly hear what we each need to hear today. Give me clarity and precision so that your people will hear you rightly. We pray this in the name of our Creator, Sustainer, and Purifier, your Son, sitting at your right hand, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen, amen. Now, to set the stage for the book of Hebrews, let me give you a quick overview of the book of Hebrews. In the earliest manuscript, this book is titled, To the Hebrews. That's what it says. So as the title suggests, it's kind of an ancient letter. We call it a specific kind of letter. It's an epistle. A New Testament epistle contains theological arguments. In other words, it's not a letter that's just saying, how are you? This is what's going on. No, it's making an argument or arguments, obviously theological arguments, in our place here. We think that Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians, somewhere outside Palestine, somewhere in the Roman world. We deduce that because most of the quotations of the Old Testament that are used here come from the Greek version of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. The letter was most likely written before 70 AD, so it's probably within 40 years of Jesus' death. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, and this letter is written as though the temple is still functioning along with all the Old Testament sacrificials, the entire sacrificial system. Now, simply, no matter what anybody tells you, we don't know who wrote the book. We don't know who wrote the book, and I recommend that you refer to the writer of the letter simply as the writer of Hebrews, because that's what I'm going to call it. And anybody that says anything else, it's pure speculation. The book has a unique role in the New Testament canon, and I recommend that you more than any other book, it teaches us how to relate the Old Testament to the work and person of Jesus. It's one of the best things in this, is it relates the Old Testament, and so we could see Jesus in the Old Testament as it relates into the New Testament. And make a note to self, when reading the book of Hebrews, keep your Old Testament handy. Because to understand Hebrews, you need to understand the Old Testament. And I will be developing our understanding as we go. And I want to get this out of the way. I want to get it out of the way now because this is the only book of the Bible that clearly tells us who should make the coffee in the house. It says Hebrews, right? All right, I promise I'm not going to bring that up again. That's it. But give me a break. I mean, when you're preaching on Sunday morning, the universe of material that you have is very small for jokes. So the first truth in our passage today is found in verses 1 to 2a. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And here is what the writer is saying. Jesus is the climax of God speaking. Jesus is the climax of God speaking. Now, what do I mean by this? What I am not saying is that the red letters in the Bible, in other words, the very words of Jesus, they are not more authoritative than the whole rest of the Bible. They are not. But what I am saying is Jesus is the conclusion of the history of revelation of the story between God and man. That which began with the creation in Genesis, Jesus Christ is the climax of the story between the relationship of God and man. That's what I mean by Jesus is the climax of God speaking. Now, the book of Hebrews presents the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of Christ like no other book in the Bible, over and over and over again. And each time we are confronted with the supremacy of Christ, it will demand a response on our part. So I want you to come to service every Sunday prepared to meet Jesus in a better way. And be prepared every single week to respond yourself in a better way. If you take this book seriously, which is the only way this book was meant to be taken, I want to guarantee you, you will become a better Christian. You will be a better son or daughter, a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee or supervisor, a better contributing member of Calvary Church. I'll guarantee you, because that's what Jesus does. Imagine that this letter now, as we start to get into this letter now, it was received most likely by a small group of Jewish Christians, people who converted from Judaism to Christianity. And they were part of a church, not the whole church, but they were part of this church. And they were probably part of a church in a city somewhere in the Roman Empire, many think in Rome. They've been ostracized by their Jewish community, who didn't convert, and they're being looked at by their Jewish brothers and sisters, ethnically, as blasphemers and traitors. They huddle around to hear the letter read, and it begins. They're being reminded that God spoke to their Jewish forefathers through the prophets. Through the prophets. Now, these prophets would have been writing prophets. Anybody who writes a book of the Bible is considered a prophet, a writing prophet. And also non-writing prophets. There's other prophets that are contained in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but they didn't write. But now they have the privilege to hear God's words spoken by God himself in the personage of Jesus Christ. They open with that. The Bible tells us that creation itself declares the glory of God. We can look around outside and know that God exists. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." We can look around and know that there's a God. That's called natural revelation. God has revealed himself through what has been made. Creation convinces us that God exists, that he knows beauty and he's powerful and he's orderly. But I want to tell you, no one gets saved by natural revelation. Nobody. Because the skies don't explain man's relationship with God. The heavens don't answer the question, what must I do to be saved? The most important question in the universe. We literally need God to speak to us, to tell us those things, and he does. We have God's very words right here in our hands. We have God's very words. We don't have to guess what God's about. We don't have to guess what we're about. We don't have to guess about our relationship with God. God, who has no reason to have to tell us anything, reveals himself to us. And this is called special revelation. Special revelation. God has spoken to us. That should thrill us down to our tippy toes. And every time we sit down or read or listen to God's word, he speaks to us again. What a privilege. What a privilege. And God is under no compulsion to reveal himself to us, none at all. Yet God did reveal himself by speaking in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, he did it through men just like you and me. Yet all scripture is God-breathed, coming right from him, 2 Timothy 3:16, as men, quote, were carried along by the Holy Spirit, close quotes, 2 Peter 1:21. So these are the very words of God. God used men and their personalities, but he inspired them. They worked through them to breathe out and write down his very words. But then Jesus showed up. Jesus Christ showed up, a man who was fully God. In Jesus, we get the ultimate communication from God. God is Jesus, and he speaks directly to us. Jesus is the climax of the story between God and man that began in Genesis. So Jesus is the climax of God speaking. That's the first truth. But the second truth tells us why that's such a big deal. And it's because the person, work, and status of Jesus is supreme. That's why it's a big deal that Jesus speaks to us. Because the person, work, and status of Jesus is supreme. The privilege we have in Jesus speaking to us is based on who Jesus is. From verses 2b, the writer of Hebrews highlights seven supreme offices of Jesus. There are no higher offices than these. Seven: inheritor, creator, sustainer, radiator, representer, purifier, and ruler. We'll go through each of these quickly. Let's go through them. First, in verse 2, he's the inheritor. Jesus is appointed heir of all things, all things. In Jewish society, an heir is invested with everything and given full authority by his father. To do business with the son is to do business with the father. That's why Jesus could say in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the father except through me." You want to know God? You've got to know Jesus. Someone who says, Yeah, I believe in God. Great. Do you believe in Jesus? And what exactly do you believe about Jesus? Critical, critical questions that need to be answered. Inheritor, number two, creator, verse two, or the agent of creation, you might want to say. It says, through whom he made the universe. Now listen to this. This is mind-boggling. If you could wrap your arms around this is really unbelievable. There are 1 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. 1 billion trillion. That's a one followed by 21 zeros. That's how many stars there are. And I can tell you that's a correct number because one night I stayed up and counted them all. Scientists now estimate that our universe is 93 billion light years wide. 93 billion light years wide. In other words, if you could design a spaceship to go 186,000 miles per second, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 93 billion years to go to one end of the universe to the other. But even that's not really, because there's something else about our universe that's interesting. It's expanding by 150,000 miles per hour. The universe, in an hour from now, is going to be 150,000 miles wider. Wrap your arms around that. And saints, here's the unbelievable thing. Jesus spoke every grain of dust in that universe into being by his powerful word. Think about that for a second. He spoke the universe into being just like that. That's how powerful he is. Inheritor, creator, number three, radiator, verse three. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. That's what it says in the scripture. To his original readers, this statement would have reminded them of the Shekinah glory of God, the shining, visible glory of God for the people in the Old Testament. If you remember the cloud that descended when Solomon built the temple and dedicated it, a cloud came and settled over the temple. That was signifying God wanted the people of Israel to know that he was dwelling with them. That was his visible presence, that bright cloud. But I want to tell you, Jesus also shone brightly when he was transfigured. And certainly when he appeared as a bright light to Paul, so bright that he blinded him. Catch this. Jesus does not reflect God's glory. We are supposed to reflect God's glory. Jesus doesn't reflect God's glory. Jesus is part of God's glory. Big difference. Big difference. Big difference. And number four, representer. Jesus is the, quote, exact representation of his being. Now, no human son is an exact representation of his father. There's a similarity, but not exactness. Jesus and God the Father are exactly of the same essence. Exactly. The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word." It means Jesus, the one who speaks. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Was God. And Jesus himself says in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." When Jesus walked and talked, people observed God walking and talking. Let that settle on you a bit. Number five, sustainer. Not only is Jesus creator of all things, Jesus also sustains all things by his powerful word. The universe was called into being by Jesus' spoken word, so also it is sustained by his equally powerful word. Every proton, every quark, and I was thinking about this today, quarks weren't even invented when I was in school. Every proton, every quark, and electron is held in place by Jesus. can't even see those things. But likewise, the planets rotate and circle the sun like clockwork through Jesus. Your heartbeat, my breath, all regulated by Jesus. 6. Purifier. Jesus, quote, had provided purification for sins. And I want you to, we're taking a big left turn here. I want you to think about this for a second. In the first 5 qualities of Jesus, he is shown to be this magnificent God, this creator, sustainer, the one who will inherit all things, who is God himself, high on a pedestal. But the same God who we worship, Jesus Christ, came down to earth to become a man, to live a perfect life, to suffer, to die, and to bleed, so that we as human beings might be purified from our awful, awful stain of sin. Think about that for a second. You can't make this stuff up. No one would think of that unless it was true. Unless it was true. Although Jesus' personage is pretty awesome, the fact that he would humble himself to suffer and die for you and me is maybe the most supreme office of his overall supremacy in the universe. In the Old Testament, God is presented most prominently as creator and redeemer. And note, the continuity in the Bible is Jesus is now presented as the agent of creator and now sustainer and purifier redeemer here. All the types, all the figures, all the shadows in the Old Testament are brought to a climax or completion in Jesus. All coming to Jesus. Jesus concealed, but there in the Old Testament are brought to their fullness in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews gives us the best illustration how the New Testament sheds light on our understanding of the Old Testament, but at the same time, the Old Testament brightens the light about Jesus in the New Testament. You need both. We need to know the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. And number 7, ruler. Quote, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, his Father in heaven. The right hand is the place of highest honor. Jesus is at the place of favor and supreme authority. Jesus rules over the entire universe he created and sustains it by his powerful word. In Philippians 2, 9 to 10, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. But Jesus at Father's right hand calls to mind another office for Jesus, one that is also very important. He is our mediator or intercessor. We get that from Romans 8:34 and other places. So in 3 short verses, we see Jesus portrayed as the Son of God, the revelation of God, the fulfillment of God's revelation in the Old Testament, the heir of all things, the agent of all creation, the radiance of God's glory, the expression of God's nature, the sustainer of all creation, the purifier of God's people, the mediator for God's people, and the ruler of the entire universe that he himself created. Jesus is simply better. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus is better. What do you mean he's better? Than who? Than what? Okay, Phil. Better than who? Better than everything. That's Jesus. Better than anyone, better than anything. And so I want to talk to you, those of you who have received Jesus as your own Lord and Savior. But right now, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the world that's causing you to stray from Jesus, or maybe just to stop growing in him. There's a whole lot going on. What I see as I observe as your spiritual leader, I see this pandemic and the crises that are coming, I see it affecting some people, as I think God intended it to be, growing closer to God. And at the same time, I see other people, it seems like they're growing more distant from God. I want to tell you right now, whatever it is that might be causing you to grow farther away from God at this time, I want to tell you, Jesus isn't better than any one of those things. Jesus is better than any of those who's that might be pulling you farther away. Jesus is better. Some of you are considering baptism right now. Some new ones today. Whatever is causing your delay in getting baptized, Jesus is better than any of those things that are causing you to delay. Jesus is better. He's worth it. Some of you that maybe not reading your Bible or praying every day because of stuff that's going on, whatever's going on that's keeping you from taking time with God every day, Jesus is better than those things. Jesus is better. He's worth it. Some of you that maybe don't feel you're the husband or dad that you want to be, maybe something's keeping you from being the husband or dad you want it to be. I want you to know for sure, Jesus is better than any of those things that are keeping you away from being the man God calls you to be. Jesus is better than every fear and anxious moment you have about this pandemic. Jesus is a better source of hope and help than whatever you are relying on right now. Jesus is simply better. And those of you who are tuning in today, checking out this Christian thing, or maybe you're here today checking out Christian, I want you to think about what you've heard this morning. Think about everything and the supremacy of Jesus and the excellency of Jesus. And I want to ask you the question, make the statement, whatever you are trusting, whatever you out there are trusting in to get you through this life and get you into the next life, I got a message for you to consider today and to consider as we go all the way through the book of Hebrews. I want you to think about this. Whatever you're trusting in, Jesus is better. How about if we pray now? Lord, you have spoken through us, through the prophets, and now through Jesus. You have shown us the supremacy of Jesus in this entire universe, Lord. You have shown us his greatness and his glory. And Lord, I want to thank you for the awesome privilege to not go through a to-do list of things we ought to do today, but instead to just present you, Jesus Christ, for who you are. That's enough for us to chew on, Lord. I pray that all of us would know you better today than we knew you when we walked in these doors. And Lord, I pray that based on knowing you better, we will respond better. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.